Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shay's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake, BJ Shay, is here.
Howdy.
Whoa, and running the boards is Joey Dees.
Hello.
Hello. On today's show, I will talk with Gareth Von Kallenbach about some interesting Star Trek 4 news and also some of your good old video game news. We will talk about Star Trek Discovery, The Walking Dead's premiere of their last season, and of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. Can have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just
more.
Search BJ Shay's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Odyssey.
So many ways to get a hold of us. Please do so. And if you can leave a review, go ahead and do that. Give us those 5 stars. I appreciate it. Let's get right into this with Mr. Gareth Von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed. We got some interesting Star Trek news and the Fallout 76 and Call of Duty. Gareth Von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed, that is SKNR.net. And last week we discussed the fact that it sounded like a new Star Trek movie was a done deal, and now a week later we hear that might not be the case.
Oh, correct. You remember, as I said last time, take it with a grain of salt and believe it when the cameras film, because we've had announcements and we had directors named and all sorts of things. And basically, we discussed the whole issue about how the deal for Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth apparently fell apart, and that's what hindered the fourth film. And at the time, we said that's kind of odd because supposedly they had already had a deal in place. Mm-hmm. And what we're hearing is that what happened was the powers that be attempted to renegotiate the deals down right before filming started. So it's the old, hey, we're on the Star Trek 3 or Star Trek Beyond press tour and everything's wonderful and we've agreed to terms for at least 2 more movies with the principal members of the cast. And then when filming came out, it was, oh, well, gee, we didn't make as much money as we thought. Let's see what we can do. Why don't we go to these people and see if they'd be willing to take less money? And they were not willing to negotiate down from the deals that they set. Whole thing fell apart. Well, now we're hearing that several members of the cast, including their agents, some say all members of the cast and their agents, have come out and said it's rather interesting that they've gone out and announced this film and a start date because they've not contacted us. They've not come to any terms with our clients.
Oh, geez.
And they have not even checked to see if they were available to film during this window.
Wow.
And so that is really interesting. And so some people are saying, well, there's a new leadership at Paramount, and it's a focus on this stuff as a priority, and we're going to make sure this happens, and we're going to make sure everything's good going forward. That being said, you know, you kind of look at it and go, it's generally a good idea to at least have contacted agents and maybe discuss certain parameters and, you know, what are we looking at here? Okay, we'll dot the I's and cross the T's later. Are they available in this time frame? I mean, yes, they could always say due to ongoing negotiations or blah, 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 we're moving the start back. But a lot of people said very odd to announce a film with this cast when none of them have apparently been finalized, contracted, or even had their agents contacted yet.
That seems pretty ridiculous when it comes down to it, and just kind of like, I don't know, a certain level of disrespect when they're doing all this stuff on the back end and then still trying to look like, it looks like they're putting pressure even on like the actors and saying, oh yeah, we would totally have this if it weren't for the actors.
Exactly, and it, you know, it kind of takes me back to the old days of the original Star Trek films where there was a lot of discussion that essentially not so much William Shatner because he had other projects. Leonard Nimoy was a director, but there was some mentality that with the rest of the cast, it was basically, what else are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you've been typecast, and Scotty, what are you going to do? And, you know, Uhura, what are you going to do? Now, of course, they had projects. They had, but we're referring to high-profile studio projects, and that was the mentality that they kind of played. Well, this is it. Take it. Need, you know, this work. And the funny thing is, if you look at them now, none of that's the case, especially when you look at George Takei and stuff like that. The guy's busy with so many projects. He's still in demand. And I think that was the case as well back then. They just weren't as high profile. Well, that's a very dangerous move right now. They do have to, they are in demand.
So. Yeah, we'll have to see where that goes with all of that. It'll be interesting to see you keeping tabs on all of that. From movie news and going into some video games, Fallout 76 just dropped a whole bunch of information as well.
Absolutely, and this was really happy to hear. I mean, nobody really expected Fallout 76 to stop content. We knew there'd be special events and seasonal events. They've done that. But they dropped a new roadmap. And this was interesting because there was some news as well that does tie into this, in that, as we know, Microsoft has purchased Bethesda. And they've announced that the Bethesda launcher, their version of Steam for their games, is going away, and Fallout 76 will be migrating over to Steam in the near future. But what was interesting is they put that out after telling us about all the great things we can look forward to. So one of the things we have is that in the springtime, we're going to get a patch that will have a new seasonal event, Invaders from Beyond. And so we're going to get the appearances coming up. We're going to get the aliens. You're going to have to defeat the invaders and destroy their brainwave siphons, do research. So a little bit of fun stuff. I've always been, the seasonal events are nice, but the loot and the bounty are not really my thing. I like the things that advance the storyline. And while this may not advance the storyline, at least it's new missions and fun.
Yeah.
Over the summer, we're going to get a test year update, and it's going to come with three new public events like Eviction Notice, Moonshine Jamboree, that sort of thing. In the fall, which is always fun because you can fold the Halloween events into it, the Pit arrives. And this is, I think, going to be really, really good if it is done in a way that the fans can really embrace. This will be a new hub in the White Spring where players can go outside of Appalachia for the first time in the game. This has been something that has been talked about for a while, and you can finally put it on the road. And of course, you're going to get the Trogs, enemy first seen in Fallout 3. They're going to come back. And all of this is going to culminate in a winter update, and this one's just so much fun. The pre-war Nuka World Ongoing Roadshow is going into effect. And so you're going into the Ash Heap region of Appalachia, and there'll be all kinds of public events, a new region boss, new loots, new exploration, and so much more. And this is just the big announced roadmap things. There will be probably adjustments and other little along the way, but it's nice to be able to look at this and say there's still plenty of stuff coming all the way through the year. And plenty of life in Fallout 76 still.
That is awesome. That is perfect. I mean, I'm really excited. I still play Fallout 76, so very excited for that. And then finishing up, well, what news do we have from Call of Duty?
Well, this one shocked a lot of people. We've been talking a lot about the acquisition that is pending with Microsoft, and then their reassurances that the Call of Duty games are going to continue for the, long-term future will be continued on the PlayStation, so on and so forth. Well, as we get ready for the release of Call of Duty 2022, which we are told is likely going to be another episode in the Modern Warfare reboot, we have had a few pretty sizable bombshells drop. One of them is that apparently 11 of these studios are currently all working on the game.
What?
Yeah. So apparently 11. It's not uncommon.
Wow.
If you look at a Call of Duty, you could say, for example, you have Infinity Ward, but you may have Binox or one of the others working on aspects of multiplayer, working on aspects of the zombie, that sort of thing. We've been told this is so advanced, they've even pulled in Treyarch off their game to work on it. Essentially, pretty much every studio that has touched Call of Duty in recent years is working on this game to get it ready to come out. We've heard some rumors, and of course, there's always the hype and the hyperbole, but we've been told that this is a potential game changer and big step forward in the franchise. And of course, this has got everyone talking about, is it going to be a brand new engine that is optimized for the next generation consoles? Is this going to be all kinds of new features? Who knows? Needless to say, Modern Warfare has been huge. Those in the Black Ops have been the most successful of the runs. So can't wait to see what we have. Well, now we've got the flip side of that. Apparently, due to the nature of so many companies being involved, due to the nature of the potential complexity of this game, there will not be a Call of Duty release in 2023.
Whoa.
Because the studio is essentially, the resources aren't there to get it out. However, they are being really smart about this, and if what we're hearing is true, they have got what I think is a pretty solid game plan in place that will essentially mitigate the sting of not having that big cash cow next year. So what the plan is right now is that sometime later this year, October, November, the new Call of Duty game will come out. It will be, as they've done with the previous games, continually supported with the seasons, which brings, you know, new zombie modes, new maps, new gameplay things like the limited time events where they bring in like a Halloween thing that had a Scream thing, Rambo, all of that free content yeah. that continues. Now, here's where it gets really, really interesting. Traditionally, when you do that, you roll the game out in October, November. You continue with various seasons. I think the last one had six, if I'm not mistaken, that continue all the way up to just before the release of the new game, basically looking at, say, September, October of 2023. They plan to continue to do that and continue the seasons into the year. So instead of 1 year of seasons to tide you over from the release of this game until the next one comes out, they will do 2 years of it, continually putting new modes out, continually putting new maps out, supposedly all free still. So you will continue to have fresh content supporting this game for 2 years until the next one comes out.
Wow.
Now here's the big bombshell that they're going to add to it. Apparently, what they are going to drop next year is there will be a new Call of Duty per se, but it is not a new Call of Duty game. What they're apparently going to do is drop Warzone 2 in 2023. So that is the big free-to-play, massive multiplayer Call of Duty shooter.
Yeah, the big the big battleground shooters.
Correct. They're going to drop a brand new version 2 of it onto the gaming field. So this is the whole thing where they can essentially, we're not going to get, for lack of, you know, rumor, the new Call of Duty Black Ops game this year, but you're going to get Warzone 2, and you're going to get another year of new maps, new modes, new content, special events, all free for the prior Call of Duty game. And then when we bring out the next one in 2024, it's going to be amazing.
That is kind of amazing, but it also makes sense. If they're going big on it, and it sounds like that with 11 companies, they've got to be able to placate their audience who is used to that yearly stuff. So that's a good call on that, and I know that you're going to keep on tabs on all of that. Very excited to see where they're going to be going with that. Gareth, again, thank you. You can find him at sknr.net. That is Skewed in Review. Take care, buddy.
Anytime. Bye-bye now.
Thank you so much, Gareth. Now we don't know what's going to be going on with Star Trek 4, but there's still so much Star Trek stuff going on out there.
Star Trek.
You've been watching a lot of it, BJ.
That's because there's a lot to watch. I mean,
right?
It really is.
How's the Discovery been going for you?
Well, I'll tell you. If you ask the critics, if you go to IMDb, they're going to tell you not going so well.
Oh, dear.
It would be just slightly rotten, you know, compared if you go with Rotten Tomatoes, kind of, because, you know, Rotten Tomatoes, you need to be 60%. And right now they're getting 5.7 in this last episode, Rubicon.
Ooh.
I don't know what's going on with, I do know what's going on. There are just a lot of Star Trek fans that like the pew, 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 pew. And Star Trek Discovery is definitely more about feelings and what's going on from a mental health perspective and behavioral science. I really believe that's a big motivator of what Star Trek is about, because I was reading online with Facebook. Somebody said, there's not enough conflict in the show. And I'm like, this last episode had a ton of conflict. It's called Rubicon, which the title is based on, I guess, Caesar crossing the Rubicon River for something, probably to fight somebody.
yeah, I don't know.
And yeah, so there's a big bad thing called this big anomaly that's just wrecking house, and it turns out the anomaly is not really anything but a machine, but it's wrecking and destroying worlds and planets, but it's just a mining machine for this other race of beings who just send it out to just like Roomba the galaxy, basically.
Whoa.
But it's killing innocent lives, and the Federation is trying to figure out what to do about this, and there's one side that wants to go and make peaceful contact with these aliens outside the galaxy, and then there's others that go, no, we just have to destroy the Roomba. You know, we just got to get rid of this Roomba. It's wrecking stuff. And that's where the big conflict of the season's coming up, and they had a big episode the last week about that. I'm not talking about this past week's episode, which aired yesterday, actually. Mm-hmm. This one here is I'm referring to last week, and yeah, it's big doings. I mean, you know, you've got also Michael, the commander of the captain of the Discovery, is her boyfriend, basically, is on the other side, and he's the one trying to destroy the damn thing, and she's like, no, we're supposed to be peaceful, and it's been a beating with their relationship, as well as, you know, two factions not knowing how to handle a crisis, which, hey, does that seem like anything going on?
All of the time.
Yeah.
Now, that's kind of interesting you're talking about big, you know, space Roomba, because as soon as you said that, it really reminded me of V'ger. From Star Trek The Motion Picture.
A lot of people have been wondering if this DMA was V'ger or some sort of form of the V'ger people that merge with V'ger.
Yeah, that's like I'm kind of thinking maybe there's that sort of tie-in. And again, maybe that's just like a headcanon, just the fact that you mentioned that. It just seems there's a lot of similarities just from your description.
That's what people have been thinking. People have thrown out a lot of theories, and V'ger was one of them. Whether or not, you know, the star of that first Star Trek movie from way back in the day, 1979.
Way back in the day.
Yeah, whether or not that's the origin or not, we don't know. A lot of people throwing stuff out there, but they did give a hint that this is a race we have not met. That doesn't mean it's not V'ger, though, because we never met the people responsible for V'ger. There was a great episode called The Doomsday Machine in the original series, and that was basically a weapon that was meant as the final sort of, we'll finally win this battle. But unfortunately, the weapon was so powerful, it wiped out both sides.
Whoops.
And yeah, so we're wondering, you know, but, you know, are we going to meet those people? Are they still alive after all?
Oh.
It's from Beyond the Galaxy, which in Star Trek lore, when they go past the Galactic Rim, that's what gave Gary... and I'm blanking on his last name, from the Where No Man Has Gone Before episode, Kirk's buddy got those godlike powers, and they went through the Galactic Rim. That's how it happened. So this will be interesting to see what happens when they finally meet these aliens from outside of our galaxy.
It'll be fun, too, just because you know they're going to want to tie it in somehow, and it doesn't even have to be either of these things. It could be a whole new thing at that point in time, but it'll set a new precedent for the, I guess, the Star Trek universe at this point.
Now, that's the latest episode. Joey Deese is one episode behind, and he saw the big gambling episode, which was how they started the second half of this past season, and I don't know where Joey Deese is on Star Trek Discovery. Usually it's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
I love just how much your dad loves the show or even just the Star Trek universe. And you have a little bit more of a pragmatic. You're just like, all right, I'm going to have to see how it goes. And more times than not, you're just like, here's a hole. Here's a hole. Here's a thing I don't like.
It's just, I mean, I don't want to say like I'm lumped into that category of people who don't believe it's a Star Trek show. But for me, I like there to be consequences to the main character's actions, and there just aren't any, which is fine. I mean, that doesn't make or break a show, but, you know, it's kind of like every character has thick plot armor, and I don't think that the decisions make much sense. Like, a guy's world gets blown up, and all of a sudden everyone's like, yeah, but what if they're a peaceful race of aliens blowing up all these planets? And I'm like, I get the argument of wanting to be diplomatic, but it's like, you gotta have some realism, right? Like, in the last Star Trek movies, you know, the Spock's homeworld gets blown up and it starts a war. You know, that makes sense. That's what would normally happen. And I don't know. It's just, to me, it's the big baddies are always these astronomically insane things that could never be solved. And somehow the Star Trek crew finds, you know, these small snippets of bits of information that make no sense to solve it. So I just kind of like, I'm along for the ride because it's a beautiful show,
mm-hmm.
and the acting's great. Do I think the plot is at all feasible or even interesting? No. even the gambling was bad. I'm like, I watched Casino Royale. That was a good poker explanation to how a bad guy would, you know, make money. This one was just hilariously bad. It was just, it wasn't even real.
And they had an expert come in, at least, well, as far as how the card game should go. I saw the Ready Room with Will Wheaton. You know, not so much the plot of why the guy's doing what he's doing, but at least they wanted the card game to look like it was a real game, even though the cards were all alien looking.
Yeah, it was so random. They're like, they're in a smuggling. Imagine the biggest smuggling den of drugs that you could imagine. And they're like, we're going to have a backroom poker game where you're playing for what is an unfathomable amount of money, essentially, which is, you know, in the form of a gigantic nuclear bomb. And it's.
Ooh, okay.
And you're gambling, and they bring in the two villains from a slave planet. And they're just like, cheated you out of your money. How do you feel? Well, I'll exit stage left. And I'm like, no. What is going on? What is this? It just annoyed me. But, you know, because I also play poker. So for me, it was also another thing. Where I'm like, you're really hitting on a sore subject for me here, guys. And you know, they're like, we'll find card counters. I'm like, yes, card counters in the underground smuggling casino was the last place. Would you go into the mafia's casino and try to cheat them out of their money?
No. I don't know. I watch Rounders and.
Are we in an Oceans movie?
Yeah.
Or like, Logan Lucky?
Ooh, that was a good movie.
Sorry, I had to bring that up again.
Joey, you haven't even hit upon what people are just livid about with that scene. I don't know if you're going to get to it or not. Because what was seen in that, Rev, for all of us Deep Space Nine fans, is that the card counter was a changeling, Odo's people.
Oh, wow.
We don't know if it was a founder, but it looked very much like at least it was a changeling, like Odo's people. And so some people were like, well, if it's a changeling, why are they being a card counter? Why don't they just basically impersonate the dude that runs the place and then like the changelings used to do? They took high positions. They weren't doing low lives like this card counting thing. So
maybe
people were pissed about that.
Well, maybe he was just a guy who decided to kind of break off of what they're normally doing. He just really likes gambling. He's trying to do it legit. Realized it's not that easy. So he just went to card counting. I mean, sure.
Yeah, you know? See, Joe, you can really fix a plot.
Hand wavy.
But that's the thing. The sets and the costumes. Costumes and the CGI and the acting, they're all fantastic. So there's good reasons to watch the show. I can get why people really like it. It's just like, for me, it's kind of like watching the Fast and Furious. Like, yeah, it's fun to watch. But at the end of the day, when you wonder why a runway scene can last 30 minutes, you know,
don't question it, buddy. Just don't question it.
Yeah. And there's a faction, Rev. I mean, there are people that just like their entertainment that doesn't go so deep into the behavioral sciences. Oh, they like the pew-pew. And there's a divide. There really, really is, because Michelle Paradise, the showrunner, is definitely somebody that's wanting to really talk about marginalized people, which I do believe the old Trek did. And she's really putting that forefront. And then there's also... she's really leaning into doing stories that can really relate to what's going on today. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's tough to make those stories work plot-wise when you have this big bad thing, which is supposed to be COVID, I'm thinking, but instead it's this dark matter anomaly, and then having two sides fight over it. But it's really hard, like Joe said, when the scientific side of you says, wait a minute, really? Is this how we're doing these things? Even though I know what they're trying to do. And a lot of emotions and a lot of behavioral science, things that they're tackling, where they never did that a whole lot before in Star Trek, especially you watch the old shows. They never went as deep with the emotions and the feelings, which isn't a bad thing, but it's definitely causing a divide with, the fans that love it and the fans that don't.
And it's got to be balanced. That's the thing, the episodes don't do a good job of balancing it, right? It's just very hit, like our new generation is, where it's like you really, make sure you hit them every minute or so with some emotion, whereas opposed to a long payoff, which is not something that's unique to that show. I think a lot of shows do that now.
Interesting on that, but I'll be very happy to hear you guys go back and forth as you continue to watch this show.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't sound like you're going to stop, Joe.
Don't worry, more planets are going to explode before the end of this season.
Moving on to the one that I don't hate watching anymore. I stopped watching it, but BJ continues to watch it. And to be perfectly honest with The Walking Dead, I will probably end up finishing it out once they finish out this last season.
Well, good luck to you if you don't get it spoiled.
You know what? I'm okay with spoilers at this point in time. Like, especially with that, I've made a conscious decision to wait it out. So if it happens, it happens. I'm not going to get mad about that. I can't. Like,
well,
I just can't get mad at that.
So they're having three parts to this last season.
Wait, three parts?
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I thought that there was just going to be two parts, but this is part two of three, which I found out. So sometime in August, so it'll all wrap up from what I understand. when they come back from whatever breaks they are. But this was the premiere of the first part. Now, I know that there's been another episode. And as a matter of fact, some people, if you have AMC Plus, you've already seen the other episode. But us regular non-AMC Plus people don't. We have to wait until it records or airs on the Sundays. But this got the first episode, which is season episode 9 of the last 11th season, got a 9.2 on IMDb. So
wow.
This is a well-received episode. It's been an amazing season, no doubt about it. There, and here's the thing. Some people remember how the last season of Game of Thrones got a little quick.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that happen. You've got more time jumps, and they're really resolving a lot of storylines that I think might have been a whole season before. I don't know how I feel about that, or is that just 10 years later and this is what we're going to do? Like, you just don't have a whole season on one big baddie. We've had we've got multiple bad guys getting resolved or at least explored in one season. Yeah. And they did resolve the Reapers, I think. Yeah, they resolved the Reapers, but then we've got the Commonwealth. And there's some stuff that I don't know that's tying into the other Walking Dead show, Fear the Walking Dead. Then there's, I think, the World of the Walking Dead. And then there's the Mall of the Walking Dead. I don't know. There's just so many things going on. But it was really well done. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm hoping that Rick and Michonne come back, because this is a big part of what's going on, is that I think where Rick is supposed to be is definitely been explored a bit in the Fear of the Walking Dead, I think, or maybe the internet show. I'm not sure. But like, we've learned about, you know, where Rick is and the people that he's supposedly with. And then you've got other things happening. We know Michonne went to look for him. These are the big characters, of course, that were on the show that left. And then the rest of the folks are hanging out. The big news is that, yeah, no doubt about it. And what is her name? She's played by the British girl. Herschel's daughter. Come on, help me out here.
Oh, gosh, dang it. Maggie.
Yes, thank you. Oh, yeah. Don't get old, people.
Oh, gosh, right?
We learned that Maggie's out of her mind. And she really has become a bitter, bitter creature. And Lauren, I think, is her name, is the actor. She's done a great job. It's not the... You know, it's not the pure and innocent Maggie that we'd always hope would stay pure and innocent. You know, she was always tough, could always handle a lot, but her soul has been corrupted by what's gone on in the 6 or some odd years since we last saw her, however long it was. And she just acts in a way that's like, even Daryl's like, wow, this is effed up. And then we had a time jump. I mean, it was interesting because we've got this group of people that some of the folks went to go find, and it looks like they got their ass together, but they're kind of weird and they're kind of jerky, but they do have their ass together. Seem like they have the best way, great suits of armor, great ways to protect themselves. Seems like it's the best life I've ever seen on the show. And a few of the folks find him, but now we see a time jump where Daryl is hanging with those folks and seems to be marching on, the old wherever the governor used to hang out, whatever you call that, the Alexandria.
Oh, yeah.
And Maggie's like up there, and she's like, I ain't gonna do it, Daryl. And Daryl's like, doesn't have to be like this. And that was the big reveal, is that one of the dudes takes his mask off, and it's actually Daryl dressed up as one of these suits of armor guys from the Commonwealth. That's where I left the last episode of episode 9. So one storyline gets resolved with the Reapers, and then we get to see time jump where it's like, whoa, Daryl's working for the what? And then Maggie doesn't want to work for the what? But and Negan took off because he realized that Maggie was crazier than he is, which is amazing to think that that's happening. But
damn,
Negan's like, Maggie, what I saw you do to those Reapers that were supposed to get mercy, you showed them no mercy. He says, at any given time, that's going to happen to me. I just can't hang out with you anymore. I'm
out.
Fair
enough.
Yeah. And and Maggie's thinking he's going to beat her to death. And he's just like, no, I'm out. And it's like, wow, I really see that Maggie is really worse than Negan in her own way, which, you know, you'd think would be at some point, you got to go, well, we can see how Negan can become Negan, because we're seeing Maggie becoming Maggiegan. I don't know.
I'm going to try to say that.
but it's so good. And, of course, The Walking Dead is on AMC Sunday nights. And if you're a special plus fancy person, well, then you know what you're doing.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, BJ. And now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, what do you got for us?
What day is it?
Friday.
Which is?
Movie Day!
Movie Day! Yay!
100% on the quiz.
Movie Day! Movie Day!
2 out of 2, that's 100%.
Yay!
Woo! I see what you did there.
If only school was that easy.
Oh, yeah, right.
But we do have a movie that is in the horror genre.
Of course.
That I'm actually excited to hopefully see at some point.
Oh! That's a surprise.
And it is called Studio 666.
Oh, yeah! Right.
This is the one with Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl becoming what? Just like possessed by a demon or a ghost or something?
Right. Like Dave Grohl, the nicest guy in rock music. It can do no wrong. And his whole band came together and it's making this horror movie where they are in a haunted recording studio as they're trying to make rock history and record their much anticipated 10th album. But once inside the house, they're grappling with supernatural forces that threaten both the completion of the album and the lives of the band.
Dun, 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 dun.
Got some also, some like, aside from the band themselves, you also have Whitney Cummings, Will Forte in this, Jeff Garlin.
Wow.
It looks like it's going to be all about, like, ridiculousness. So I'm thinking Evil Dead. I don't know how bloody, but yeah. I'm assuming Evil Dead, like, from the humor and the horror aspect.
Yeah, I don't know how much spoilers you want, but Dave Grohl pretty much said that he's a really more horrific, gory version, in a way, of Jack from The Shining.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like he's the problem here, from what I understand.
Some of the makeup looks pretty cheesy, but I think that's just going to add to it.
Of course.
As of now, it only has 39 reviews for the Tomato Meter. No audience score as of yet, but it's 62%.
I mean, it's a horror movie. It's going to be cheesy.
Comedy.
Yeah,
that's not a bad. Honestly, that's just like giving it a B.
Yeah, and I've heard that if you're fans of Foo Fighters, you're going to absolutely love this. So it kind of take that into account as well. I mean, it's a band making a horror movie that's going to be super cheesy on purpose. So just expect all of that.
Speaking of cheesy, I feel like it wouldn't be a Friday without discussing a new movie that Bruce Willis has come out with.
Are you serious?
Wow.
All right, okay. BJ, get ready.
Here we go.
It's mystery thriller action, Gasoline Alley.
Wasn't that like a newspaper comic?
It was,
or
it was a comic way back in the day, and it was bad.
Yeah, it was.
In my opinion, well, it was really. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people loved it way back, but it was old timey.
So Bruce Willis, Luke Wilson, and Devon Sawa star in a chilling story of savage Hollywood murder set in a present day Los Angeles.
Oh,
Jimmy Jane, which is played by Sawa, a reformed ex-con, is the prime suspect who will stop at nothing to prove his innocence. Homicide detectives Freeman, which is Willis, and Vargas, which is Wilson, are close on his tail as Jimmy takes on his own investigation, risking his life in the dark underbelly of L.A.
Ooh. Bah, just, bah, bah.
Just, it's got 5 reviews.
0%?
0%!
Yes! I just quickly Googled it, found the first review I have, and it says, though a fraction closer to the descriptors like competent and watchable than most of the star's recent output, but that's more in thanks to the other actors.
Mm.
Like, that's actually a line from the review.
Wow. Sorry, Bruce.
Well, I mean, if you've got nothing else to do, and again, like I was just saying, if you're a really big fan of Bruce Willis, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Maybe not.
Let's just say no.
Yeah. Wow.
This one I found interesting because I haven't heard anything about it. It's got some pretty big name actors in it. Not doing so well on the Tomato Meter. With 14 reviews, it's got 36%.
Mm.
But it's a drama comedy thing, but I found it interesting.
Okay.
It's called Big Gold Brick.
Ooh.
Like, yeah, no idea. They also say it's kind of fantasy-ish, but you have Andy Garcia, Megan Fox, Lucy Hale, Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
So it's got a pretty big cast for the most part. Kristen Wiig is apparently an executive producer in this.
Oh, okay.
So Gold Brick recounts the story of a fledgling writer, Samuel Liston, and his experiences with Floyd Devereaux. Only reason I know how to pronounce that is from Golden Girls. Side note.
Enigmatic.
That one. Middle-aged father of two who enlists Samuel to write his biography. But the circumstances that lead up to the agreement in the first place are quite astonishing, and efforts to write the biography are quickly stymied by ensuing chaos in this darkly comedic genre-bending film.
Huh.
All right.
I have no idea.
Yeah, right? I mean, those are definitely words that
exactly.
don't explain exactly at all what this is going to be.
I won't watch it.
I'm looking at pictures. There's like Lucy Hale in like a red dress and a violin on stage. And there's a funeral shot.
I won't watch it.
There's with bricks of gold. Looks like someone's trying to sell a book in a crappy wig.
Yeah.
Andy Garcia is looking like a Silver Fox daddy.
I won't watch it.
Actually, yeah, I didn't realize that was him on the poster. Right? He's got that big old beard.
Honestly, that's the only reason I really felt like I was drawn to this. I'm like, who's that? Well,
does it have anything on the old tomatoes?
Oscar Isaac's looking pretty hot. 36%.
Oh, yeah, you said that. All right, yeah. I mean, all right.
Yeah.
It does call it comedy fantasy, so, I mean...
It is February. You're not going to get the best of Hollywood.
Yeah, I kind of feel that this might be something along the lines, if you guys remember that movie Big Fish, like kind of like the tall...
Big Fish.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be a less awesome version of that.
So just go watch Big Fish.
Yeah, you might just want to watch Big Fish.
Okay.
Anything else on the old on the movies that you think is even worthwhile for the geekies?
I'll phrase this like J. Jonah Jameson said in the first Spider-Man movie, Spanish version.
Okay.
Basura, basura, mega basura. Whoa. Garbage, garbage, basura. Mega garbage.
Oh. Wow. All right. I guess that's the best way to put that.
Yeah, okay. Then. Everything else looks pretty.
Well, I mean, if you've got time, maybe, I don't know, go back and watch any of the awesome movies that are on something like Disney Plus or, you know, Netflix. There's a lot of good things out there.
Free Guy's on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You spend some time watching Free Guy.
You got Encanto, and I think The Eternals is on, but they also have, the making of The Eternals that I saw
that just
popped up.
That just got dropped, assembled, yeah.
So let us know what you do watch, how and what you think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, guys, stay nerdy.